This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for February 25th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. There is a link in today's newsletter for the DTCC press release about the proposal to shorten the U.S. settlement cycle to T plus one within 2 years. Former CFTC Chairman J. Christopher Giancarlo has an op-ed in the Financial Times titled, "Let the Market Determine Bitcoin's Value. Well-regulated trading is the best way to sort through conflicting views of the currency's worth." Giancarlo is a big proponent of the digital dollar. The New York Times reports that California has passed the 50,000 death mark for the coronavirus, the most of any state, and that a new coronavirus variant is spreading in New York, according to researchers. There is some good news on the virus front from Johnson & Johnson and from Pfizer BioNTech that could help curb the virus and end the pandemic. However, Bloomberg is reporting that two-thirds of New York City's arts and culture jobs are gone, which, if true, is very bad for when we can return to public entertainment. In fashion news, the New York Times has a story titled, "This is the coat to wear to Davos. The top coat is made of Norwegian wool and is as warm as the big puffy coats. They are reportedly the favorite of financiers, news anchors, and the movie crowd. My only question is, how much and do they come in tall? Or the other way around?" The Australian Securities and Exchange Commission, or ASIC, has a press release titled, "ASIC sues NAB for unconscionable conduct misrepresentations over account fees." I know some people who feel this way about fees charged in the industry, especially for data. Variety is reporting that Pulitzer finalists Tom Wright and Bradley Hope have teamed for Project Brazen, a multi-platform journalism studio that will uncover global true stories from the world of entertainment, business, crime, and international politics via podcasts, books, documentaries, television series, and films. Xavier Rolet, the non-executive chairman, Matt Elliott, senior political advisor, and Dr. Clive Black, head of research, have a post on Shore Capital Markets website titled, "Keeping the City Healthy Requires a Global Perspective and a Strategically Engaged British Government." Scott Knutson, the CEO of Cove Markets, which has a platform to help you get the best crypto prices, talked his position a bit, but had a great point, saying on a tweet, "It's interesting that Coinbase makes 90% of its revenues from high fees while often executing trades at inferior prices. Meanwhile, most people can trade stocks for free, are guaranteed the best price in the market, and often getting price improvement inside the quote. Let's fix this." The Sun is reporting that Kenneth Branagh is unrecognizable as Boris Johnson for the new coronavirus drama, The Sceptered Isle. You'll have to see it to believe it. Owl Labs has published a piece on 10 icebreakers for a remote meeting. I have the first meeting of the Pathway to Adventure of the Boy Scouts of America Development Task Force today and need to break some ice. We had no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Today, we have an Open Outcry Traders History Project video of Mike Cavanaugh, a former CBOT trader who made the transition to electronic trading and brokering and is doing very cool things today in fintech. Jim Bell, the former chief financial officer of GameStop, is resigning from his post over a, quote, disagreement over strategy. From the sound of it, he was pressured to leave. Bell is an ex-Navy officer who has worked in executive roles for various companies over the years, including Wok Holdings, owners of the P.F. Chang restaurant chain, Harry and David Holdings, Inc., and Piper Jaffray Companies. Apparently, Ryan Cohen, GameStop board member, former Chewy.com CEO, and activist investor, whatever that means, has been pushing for change in the company. GameStop, which has been one of the biggest retailers of hard copy video games in the video game industry for years, has struggled to adapt to the industry's increasingly digital nature, as gaming platforms have emphasized digitally downloaded games over games read from physical media like CDs. Most of GameStop's revenue tends to come not only from selling video games and consoles, but selling used games and DVDs, as well as pre-orders for physical media, which often come with extra bells and whistles like exclusive in-game content or free swag. From the looks of it, Cohen has been pushing for the company to transition from a brick-and-mortar business to more of an e-commerce business. It would be a smart move, though I must admit my inner child saddens at the thought of GameStop's retail stores, in which I used to spend hours during my youth, disappearing forever. At least it ain't all bad for Bell, though. He's reportedly leaving with a $30 million severance package. Matt Rabel reported. The January Cannabis Markets Insights, published by Canadian-based NASDAQ analysts, highlights a few trends we've seen already recently. The subscriber-based report notes that in the 12 weeks between November 5th, 2020 and February 6th, 2021, cannabis equities as a group outpaced broader equity markets in Canada and the U.S., but also had the highest volatility. The report said NASDAQ Equity Cannabis Index showed a 70% return over the three-month period, with all but one of the index 28 underlying securities ending higher. Nine stocks included in the index were cited in the report as outperformers, up at least 100%, including Tilray, Alphria Inc., and Ligand Pharmaceuticals. The cryptocurrency trading platform Coinbase's public filing dropped this morning on the SEC's website. You can peruse it here in a link in today's newsletter. In pre-filing OTC trading of shares offered on NASDAQ's private market, the company reached a market capitalization of $100 billion. Coinbase says it has 2.8 million monthly transacting users. A date for the launch of its shares on NASDAQ has not been provided, Tom Thompson reported. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Don't forget to register for FIA Boca V. Go to www.fia.org to register. Today we have the video from the Open Outcry Traders History Project featuring Mike Cavanaugh. Mike Cavanaugh found his way to the trading industry despite his degree in political science because he had a brother-in-law in the weed pit at the CBOT. He did a summer internship working for one of the most prolific weed traders and soon fell in love with the place. See this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Pfizer bio and tech shot could help end pandemic, Israel study shows. Shot clears hurdle for preventing spread, symptoms, deaths, effectiveness held up under scrutiny in real-world conditions. Pfizer Inc. and BioNTech SE's COVID-19 vaccine was overwhelmingly effective against the virus in a study that followed nearly 1.2 million people in Israel. Results that public health experts said show that immunizations could end the pandemic. My comment, a light at the end of the tunnel that is not a train coming at us for the first time in a while. Here's another story from Bloomberg. SPAC and ESG fads are on collision course with billions at stake. SPAC IPOs have raised nearly $140 billion over the past year. Bernstein strategists question if SPACs are a good fit for ESG. Two of the hottest equity market trends are headed for a clash as some ESG investors are having second thoughts about blank check firms that have flooded the market. Early signs show that money managers wedded to environmental, social, and governance themes are reluctant to buy into special purpose acquisition companies before a target has been identified. That could potentially cut SPACs out of an investment class that's on a course to exceed $53 trillion by 2025, according to Bloomberg Intelligence. My comment, how many different words can you spell with SPAC and ESG? Here is a story from Robinhood. Not that Robinhood, though. New Robinhood report, pandemic response kept 1 million New Yorkers out of poverty in 2020, but failed to close racial gap. Robinhood and Columbia University to unveil report today at No City Limits 2021. Robinhood, in partnership with Columbia University, today released the third annual poverty tracker report on the state of poverty in New York City, detailing economic and social disparities that have been exacerbated by the pandemic and highlighting policies that can keep people out of poverty while improving racial equity. Robinhood strives to improve financial inclusivity, but it isn't really inclusive if people of color are not served as well, Matt Rabel said. Here is a story from the Financial Times. This is an op-ed from J. Christopher Giancarlo. Let the market determine Bitcoin's value. Well-regulated trading is the best way to sort through conflicting views of the currency's worth. Bitcoin's price is bouncing around $50,000, giving it an aggregate value near $1 trillion. The digital currency is increasingly part of the modern financial landscape. The venerable BNY Mellon is now handling Bitcoin. MasterCard is integrating it into its payment system, and Tesla bought $1.5 billion of Bitcoin for its corporate treasury. My comment, Chris Giancarlo is not letting go of his support for digital currencies and Bitcoin. Maybe he is actually Satoshi Nakamoto. Here is a story from NPR. Baffled Canadians spread reports of hard butter. There's something off about the butter in Canada that's left many flustered residents looking for answers. Canadians have increasingly churned up a debate on social media with anecdotes about hard butter that fails to spread as easily as it once did. Something is up with our butter supply, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it, cookbook author Julie Van Roosendaal tweeted early this month, renewing speculation. Have you noticed it's no longer soft at room temperature, watery, rubbery? What is the world coming to? Matt Rabel says. Here are your top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was the Wall Street Journal's clearinghouse urges faster trade settlement amid GameStop scrutiny about the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation's new white paper advocating moving to T+1 settlement. Second was Bloomberg's isolated bored employees could use a little TLC these days, with some tips for bosses on how to make employees feel valued and connected. Third was why London should resist the SPAC craze from the Financial Times. Here are your Markets Wiki statistics of the day. The site now has 201,072,353 pages viewed. There are 25,482 pages on this site, and there have been 230,706 edits. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.